as we come to you from the Golden 1 Center, where, of course, the Kings take on the Spurs tonight. You know who had a night last night? Was this guy to my left.
Oh,
just
man.
Opening the broadcast with, they say it never rains in Southern California, but the Kings are hoping it rains threes tonight.
Splash.
Yeah.
Had that one tucked in the back pocket for the return trip. And it was raining, though. It was raining in L.A.
Was
at the time. Yes. And I was hoping, because usually we start with the wide shot from outside, and I guess you couldn't really tell, but it was raining in L.A., so that's why I thought of that one, Whitey.
I see.
Yeah, there you go.
Styles and Watkins, we're also talking about your line. He should be on Jeopardy because he's got all the answers. You had your A game last night.
No,
RJ liked that one.
You know what, man? I tell you what, I continue this play by play journey. I realize sometimes you just throw stuff out there.
Absolutely.
You know, and if it's
I don't know, but I would think so.
I don't know if Mark Jones has his stuff written down on a note card beside him or anything like that, but me, it's all just off the top of the head. And then you look back on it and be like, all right, that actually hit. You know, I might use that again. And so, no, what a game last night, dude.
Yeah.
What a game.
By the way, on that note, before we get into that, and we got a lot to talk about there, I remember talking to John Miller, the great John Miller, about Barry Bonds when he broke Hank Aaron's record. And I asked him, you know, just doing a radio interview.
Yeah.
So did you decide what you were going to say? Did you set it up? Did you know what you're going to say? And he said, how could I do that? My job is to capture the moment.
Right.
He said, I don't know what the moment's going to be like. I can't anticipate that. So to decide beforehand what I'm going to say, he said, I wouldn't be doing my job.
It's not authentic. It's staged, you know. And that's, you know, I like to, when I call games, sort of react like the fans react, you know. Like, and I'll take you behind the curtain. Sometimes they tell me, Drapes, you're a little too excited, man. It's 6-3 Kings. You can't be, you know, like going crazy over a dunk when it's 6-3, because then in the fourth quarter, when it's a close game, how do you take it up even farther? But I'm like, yo, this is Drapes being Drapes. I'm sitting there watching the game. And so, you know, it's a game.
What a game.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you didn't really accuse me of this, but you did. First thing you asked me today is, hey, were you one of those people on Twitter last night when they were down 19 giving up the ship? And I was not.
You sure about it? I know you might have scrubbed your social media account or something like that.
I've seen a few games, you know. I learned that a long time ago. 48 minutes, you know, there's a lot that can happen. But I was a little surprised the way that game, that second quarter just whoop. It was like a different game.
Well, I asked.
He's actually
that.
Looking. He's
no,
looking.
No, I'm not looking at you because I got some text, and if they're listening, they know exactly who I'm talking about. So the game tipped off at about what, 7:37?
Yeah,
7:38. Yeah. I got a text at 7:54. Commence the blowout. I'm like,
now is this from a Kings fan or was it like a Laker fan?
No, it's a Kings fan.
Like
it's a Kings fan. I told my kids before the game started, it'll be a blowout by Lakers. It was coming. It was just coming. And so I know there were some Kings fans out there that were thinking that when my guys were down by 19, y'all wanted to go watch Murder, She Wrote or whatever else. Y'all flipped the channel, turned the channel, go watch Happy Days, whatever's on TV that you watch nowadays.
I don't think it's Happy Days, right? But I get your point.
You get my point, right?
Yeah.
Maude or something like that. No. I stuck with my guys, and the fans that stayed tuned in, you were treated out there. That's Kings basketball with what we saw last night.
Yeah. You know, it was a terrific. Obviously, I'm a little concerned about LeBron, though. He had to leave the bench before the game was over because his ankle was sore. Come on.
Was it his ankle was sore? He knew the beatdown.
Exactly.
Was inevitable.
LeBron, right? You guys got your asses kicked. What happened? Well, my ankle was a little sore. Didn't bother me much until the end, and then I had to, you know, I couldn't stay sitting on the bench for the whole thing.
That's the frustration from LeBron weighing in. I mean, he just, like, that team, I don't know how they won 8 out of their last 11 or whatever, the team, Lakers team I saw. Like, Anthony Davis, and we'll get into him, like, he was a bystander. Like, he was a statue out there.
The scarecrow.
Working him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we went into this game. Oh, big game. Watch out for the Lakers. Big game. Man, the Kings smacked him up. That was an impressive win, I thought, last night.
You know, what was really amazing is that Malik Monk, after the game, asked about, you know, what happened in that second quarter. And it's true, but it's incredible. He said, we stepped up our defense. Now, you look at the numbers. And the Lakers last night, They shoot 52%. They shot 47% on threes. And not to get bogged down in the, you know, the box score.
The box score
says, wow, the Kings didn't guard anybody last night. But Malik says we stepped up the defense in the second quarter. And they did. He 44-20 in that second quarter. And we saw once again those scrappy Kings. Maybe you can't compare them to the great defensive teams of all time. But for stretches, they can be really disruptive.
They can. And there was a stretch during the game, you know, sure, they made 15 shots in a row. That's impressive, obviously, the offense. But there was a stretch in the game, and Katie and I were talking about this on the broadcast. We were talking about deflections. Team want to get 20 deflections. There had to be four or five possessions in a row where the Kings got their hands on the ball, a deflection that sort of disrupted that Lakers offense. When you look at that second quarter, Whitey, and that's where the game changed, Kings shot 78%, Lakers shot 28%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there it is right there. Kings made eight threes, Lakers made one. And so I thought the Kings necessarily didn't force a whole lot of turnovers that quarter. They just made life difficult for the Lakers. Austin Reeves. This was a guy on Team USA.
Oh, yeah.
Austin Reeves.
He was country mamba.
He was 0 for 6 in that second quarter. Overall, I thought De'Aaron Fox and company just really went after him. 6 of 15 shooting for him. He was exposed last night, and that Lakers defense was exposed. And a great win for Sacramento, man. I'm fired up.
Yeah, is D'Angelo Russell still on the Lakers? I didn't really see much of him last night.
You know what? And I thought he was going to be the X factor.
I did
to be
too.
With you.
I did
you
too.
Know, over his last 11, he was averaging 21 points per game. Like, he was playing the best basketball of his season. And I'm telling you, like, outside of LeBron and Rui Hachimura, like, it didn't seem like any of the other Lakers had a pulse last night. You know, I know AD had his 14 and 11, but
he was 5 for 13.
Yeah, and two of those came when the game was already out of hand. Two of those field goals. Austin Reeves had 18, but he had 15 shots. I just thought the Kings as a team, and I think it was De'Aaron Fox that said it afterwards, like, it was a total team. Everybody that played had an impact on that game.
What am I to make of the fact that after the game, Coach Brown went out of his way to praise somebody who didn't play? He went out of his way to praise JaVale McGee.
And that's huge, Whitey, and that's huge. You know what we're going to have to start doing? No offense, big fella. We're going to have to start these shows off with Drape's takes, because you'd be stealing all my thunder here with some of these questions. But it's okay. It's okay. No, I thought that was huge, and I'll talk about this more in a minute. But when you look at this Kings team, a lot of times we question, man, just show me you care. Show me you care. And I think with the way our starting lineup is, the temperament that they play, having an energetic and engaged bench is crucial for this Sacramento Kings team. We see Mason Jones. You can see it. We don't necessarily see JaVale McGee and his energy, but his words, Mike Brown, we're talking about,
yep,
huge last night. And so that's the key. That's part of a role of a bench player, too. It isn't just about what you do when you're on the court. It's trying to, you know, make sure the guys are in the right mind frame, right? Make sure that they're still upbeat, you know. Like, you can have an impact on the game, as we saw last night. JaVale didn't even play without even playing the game.
Yeah, I noticed that in the Minnesota game and even the Bulls game that the Kings lost, you know, that that fateful timeout before they couldn't get the ball in bounds. JaVale McGee and other bench players, they were up, clapping, encouraging their teammates.
And think about it. You know, if you're JaVale McGee, like, he came here from Dallas, was brought on to Dallas, thought he'd have a role, and then eventually that role evaporated, and he was a bench rider. He didn't get see any action late in the season. Here in Sacramento, he's been out of the rotation for a couple of weeks now, pretty much. And he could be sour, he could be upset, but that shows you his professionalism, staying with it. And you need guys like that on the back end of your bench who, like, you don't need malcontents. Like,
no.
Trust me on that. Like, nobody needs a malcontent. And so I was glad Mike Brown pointed that out, man, because I thought that was huge last night.
Jean-Paul on the YouTube chat says, I like Draper screaming wedgie when the ball got stuck. You got really excited about that.
I know. You know why? Because I've been waiting for that. Like, it rarely happens. And you know, I'll admit, I think I stole that one from Ian Eagle. Like, he gets super, like, that dude gets super excited. And I was like, you know what? That's what we called it back in the day growing up. It got a wedgie. It wedged up in there. And so I was like, oh, my God, it actually finally happened. You know? So, yeah, I was excited about that.
You know what I noticed? I may have to ask Coach Brown about this tonight if I get a chance. There's been a lot of talk of how the Kings don't always play with effort, got to control our effort. We've seen teams here in Sacramento that don't try, and this team doesn't look like that. Even when they're not winning, they're trying. So I was trying to think, what exactly are we talking about?
Right.
And I think we're talking about not so much effort, but levels of intensity. And last night, you see this at times when the Kings are on the road, and you saw it last night in De'Aaron Fox's eyes and in Malik Monk's eyes. Mm. They wanted to prove to the Lakers that you're not better than us, and they played with so much intensity. When this team, and especially those two guys, when they feel like we are the perceived underdog, we're going to prove to everybody in here how wrong they are, this team takes it to a new level.
Yeah, and they get up for playing the Lakers.
Yes.
LeBron James.
And, yes.
You know, we'll talk about the Lakers coming up in a little bit because I got a bone to pick with some national media outlets. I'll save that. Mm-hmm. I'll save that, Whitey. But, you know, like – De'Aaron came into that game averaging better than 32 points per game against the Lakers. We've seen it time and time again. When they go down to L.A., him and Malik, man, they put on the show, like you said. And I just love watching Malik Monk play, especially when he has it going on. We've talked about this yesterday and in the last few weeks. When he's flowing, everybody else is running on the court. He's like gliding, skipping, cascading, whatever word you want to use. And it's a swagger. It's a bravado. And to do it against the Lakers, LeBron and AD, two all-stars, all-NBA guys, future Hall of Famers, man, that's the kind of swagger I need, though, tonight against San Antonio, Whitey.
Yes.
Like, even without Victor Wembanyama. That's the kind of thing they need to bottle up and take into each game.
Years ago, yesterday I wore the shirt from the 02 Western Conference Finals. And I got a lot of heat at that time because before Game 6, you know, it was pretty apparent to me at the time. And I think anybody really watching, like, Kings are better than the Lakers. So before Game 6, on the radio station here, on this station, we had a funeral for the Lakers. And we broadcast it. And as you can imagine, it kind of made news in the South.
You really did that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We had the jersey and the coffin and everything. Caught a little flack because, as you know, it didn't really go our way, although it should have. You know, Game 6 was a disaster. Game 7, they should have won, but they didn't. My point is, last night I felt like I was watching it, like I was possibly watching maybe not a funeral, but certainly more than just the beginning of the end of LeBron's Lakers. And the Kings had a hand in that.
Dang. You they're done, you're saying.
They're fading fast, I'll say that.
They're behind the Warriors, too. Like they're going to make the play-in because Utah's folding. Mm-hmm. You know, Houston's out of it, in my opinion. But, no, you're right. Like this notion that they can all of a sudden turn on the switch. With that being said, though, Wade, they still got Anthony Davis. And the Anthony Davis we saw last night and the Anthony Davis we've seen against the Kings this season is not the Anthony Davis the rest of the league has seen. I don't know what it is about that matchup, but he is the highest paid role player in league history when he faces Domantas Sabonis in the Kings. And so I'm not going to, you know, pour dirt on them just yet. I'm not going to have the funeral just yet for the Lakers. I think they still can make some noise. In terms of being a title contender or even a Western Conference Finals contender, I just don't see it.
Yeah. I'm just going to make sure Darvin Ham here, you might need this. Give him the business card of the funeral home. That's all I'm doing.
Right. He's just going to slide it over to him.
I want to keep that handy, all right, Coach? Just, you know, wink, wink, in case you need it. We've got Drape's tape.
Yes.
When we come right back to Golden 1 Center Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. What do you got for us tonight, Drapes? I guess maybe you don't want to tell us. Maybe you don't even know yet.
I don't even know yet. You know what? I prepped for tonight's game. I got my notes ready. But in terms – see, so I forget whether it was Mark Jones or somebody, they told me you know, this was Mark Jones. He told me, and this was in regard to college football. He sort of scripts out what he's going to say at the top. You know, when they have the wide shot.
Sure.
You know, it's like it got to be something poetic, something that really starts off strong. And so I haven't thought about tonight just yet. So I'll have something for you.
How about, boy, if the Kings lose tonight, this would be the worst loss of the year.
You know what? I was driving in, and I'm like, damn it, that Jay is going to have something to say about tonight's game, man. He's going to want to chime in and be like, you know, and shoot down that great win last night and talk about tonight and how much he's worried. And so I'm not going to go there. I'll let other people go there, like Jay and people out there on the negative Nellies, Carmichael, Dave. Like, I mean, the sound, the horn blows to zero, and Dave's already tweeting, should I be worried about tomorrow? I'm like, and I was like, dude, just enjoy this win before you start being concerned about the next game.
Well, you definitely want to enjoy this. It's time for Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Sacramento, stand up. Your team is back on top. We are back up. I'm talking about the Sacramento Kings. I don't care what the records are. I don't care what the standings say. Anytime you can go down to L.A. and beat the Lakers, that is a great win.
Yes, yes.
Let me start off, Whitey, by giving my guy, Mike Brown, some love. And here's why. The dude just celebrated his 54th birthday on Tuesday. I asked him, hey, Mike, do you even have time to celebrate during the game? I don't know if you guys heard this at home. And he said, no, I'm a grown man. The only celebrating I'm doing is I can't even tell you, Drapes. And so, like, Mike, hopefully you celebrated last night when you got home. Let me just say that. But here's why I want to give Mike Brown some love, Whitey. Because remember the other day in the loss against the Bulls?
I do.
Or against the Miami Heat,
yeah.
People are like, oh, he got out-coached. He got out-coached. What we saw last night was Mike Brown at his best, and here's why. Kevin Huerter, 11 minutes. Harrison Barnes, 15 minutes. Mike Brown is going to ride the guys on that given night he thinks is going to win. And remember, Keon Ellis didn't even play the other day against Chicago. Your guy, Keon Ellis. Mike's like, well, we got Davion Moore. You know what Mike did? He said, all right, I'm going to play Davion and Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. That was a brilliant coaching move in the second quarter. He had a lineup out there. I think it was Fox, Keon, Davion. Like, you had three small guards, and that, I thought, changed the game. And then when Fox went out, Malik was in. I thought that coaching move was strategic and really helped propel that team in the second.
I want to see a lot more of Keon Ellis going forward, too.
And are you okay with him playing alongside Davion like we saw?
Well, depending on the matchup. You know, in today's NBA, it's like guard, forward. These guys are wings.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah. Right. Don't talk about point guard, shooting guard. Your wings and bigs.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And so I thought Mike Brown did a great job. And what we need to learn and remember, Kings fans, is not every move a coach makes is going to work. Eric Spoelstra sometimes gets out coached. Eric Spoelstra sometimes says, darn, I wish I would have did things differently. And so this whole notion that, you know what, Mike Brown's on the hot seat or he lost us the game, you know, stop that. Coaches aren't perfect. Players aren't perfect. You try what you think is going to work. It doesn't, and then you reevaluate going forward. And so this whole, you know, Mike Brown talk, I'm not for it.
Yeah, great day for Coach Brown. I wanted to back up real quick.
Yeah.
I heard you talked about it last night. I asked him about his birthday. I thought you said he went there, but then I wasn't sure, and maybe it's none of my business, but there was something.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Like, he's a man with a girlfriend, spouse, partner, whatever.
Yeah, okay,
he pulled a Giannis. Remember Giannis had that press conference during his birthday? He was like, yeah, I'm going to go home, maybe a bath. And Mike Brown started to go there.
All right.
And I was like, all right, Mike, too much information. I'm talking, you know, I thought he was going to talk about a nice dinner. You know, maybe a...
That's one way to put it.
Right. Go get a massage or something. No, he went there. And,
all right. Move on.
He was on one yesterday. So, all right. we don't need to know about Mike Brown's home life like that. All right, next. Anthony Davis. Who's your daddy? it's Domantas Sabonis. Remember Pedro Martinez said that about the Yankees? Oh, I guess they're my daddy.
Yep.
Well, Domantas Sabonis is a nightmare matchup for Anthony Davis.
Yes.
He owns him on both ends of the
floor. So Arvidas is AD's grandfather.
Yes, exactly, exactly, exactly. Who knew, right, that Domas had a 28-year-old son already?
Right, you know? Right.
But the way he just dominated that matchup, it was impressive to watch. Like, I thought AD would come in breathing fire. He knew his record against Domantas Sabonis. He knew he was 8-0-8 against Domas. So I was, you know, before the game, man, watch out for Anthony Davis. That dude was a non-factor. He was locked up like he committed a crime last night. Give Domantas Sabonis some credit. I thought he played a brilliant game on both ends.
Don't you think that other teams at some point are going to notice that? They scout that. And like the guy we talked to yesterday from the Laker podcast says, Domas plays him, gets right up in his chest, yep, and he doesn't like that. I would think he's going to see a lot more of that.
I would think so. And you know, I know I'm coming down hard on Anthony Davis. Darvin Ham got to put them in better positions to succeed then. Like, they need to figure that out as a team if they're going to have any success against Sacramento if they meet in the playoffs. Because right now, the Kings own the Lakers 3-0 this season against the Los Angeles Lakers.
And it's getting worse for them.
Right, it's getting worse, right? Yeah. Like, and I feel like the Kings are just now about to hit the stride. I can't calm down during Drape's take. This is what I'm here for. Last but certainly not least, can we give my guy, Davion Mitchell, some credit?
Please. Please.
My gosh, Davion is playing lights out right now.
This is a shot for once.
I know, right? Exactly. Remember, it was what the Chicago game or no, Minnesota, where he started 4-for-4, I think, or 5-for-5 or something.
7-for-8, I think.
Yeah, 7-for-8 overall. I mean, this dude is playing arguably the best basketball of his career right now. And what I'm seeing from Davion, guys, is the game looks to be slowing down right now. Like, he's not in a hurry. He's not in a rush. The jump shot looks perfect. Like, it looks textbook. Give Jimmy Alapag some credit. You know, the assistant coach that worked with him, spent all offseason with him. I mentioned it on the broadcast. They went out to Spain. They went to Costa Rica. Wherever Davion went, Jimmy went with him, and they put in a lot of work. And he worked with Steph Curry's shooting coach, mm-hmm, Brandon Payne, also. And so I think Davion is entrenched in this rotation. And as a bonus, I wouldn't mind seeing him and Keon out there,
right,
on the floor together. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, and I just think on a side note, just for the Kings to get that production out of Keon, who they brought in, their own guy, and then Davion, whom they drafted, that speaks volumes for your, you know, going forward for your whole player development program. It's huge.
It's huge, and I got one final point I'd like to make. For the first time, Drape's Takes is sponsored, Whitey.
What?
You know I worked hard at this.
What?
You know I worked hard at this. I was in the sales offices every day. I'm like, yo, I got Drape's Takes. Help your boy out. So we got a sponsor. Drape's Takes, brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms. Shout out to Alsco. I'm fired up.
That's
about
nice.
That, man.
You know, I had an inkling. Today I was listening to Styles and Watkins, and a commercial comes on, and it's you. For
oh,
that
really?
Place. I was like,
oh, that's running now,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's man. Curious.
Why did it take me so long to get into radio? Like, this TV stuff is for the birds, man. Radio, you could really make some things
You're
happen,
natural,
man.
That's all, yeah. Oh, you didn't want to lower yourself to our level, right?
Oh, no, man, I did look down on you and some of the other guys
sure.
on radio.
Yeah, of course. You're right.
I'm messing with you, obviously. But, no, I'm fired up, man. I'm excited about this team, the station, where we're going, man. It's a good
great.
Day to be a Sacramento.
Congratulations.
Fan.
And thank you, you know, for helping out the station that way. Now, as far as Jay and the Spurs and tonight, yesterday you said, if the Kings lose to the Spurs.
..
Yeah, and then Jay said, I'm going to stop you right there. But because you're expressing now how outraged you are by the notion that the Kings are coming up short tonight.
All right.
Back it up. If the Kings lose tonight, then what?
I will be heartbroken.
Who was that? RJ?
RJ was over there like, oh. Like, I will be, because I haven't been this geeked and amped up about the Kings and where they are trending.
You're on the ride again. You're back on the ride.
That's my life, dude. My life is a roller coaster. This is who I am. I got to be me.
Roller coaster.
I got to be me. Fortunately, I'm on the call tonight. I'm not on pre and post. So when I do the call, it'll be all PG and, you know, company approved post game. Yeah. If we lose, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, when you do the game, you got to do the game, right?
Right.
No matter
right.
how you feel, you have to yes. do the game. Whereas after the game's over,
you're reacting.
Go to the drapes and you're like, what? What?
But I got faith in my guys, man, because what I'm seeing is, first of all, it improved De'Aaron Fox. Can we give De'Aaron some love, too,
mm-hmm.
since the All-Star break?
Yeah, he was just in command last night.
Yes, he was in total command last night, and he was the best player on the floor. Think about this, Whitey. You got LeBron James. You got Anthony Davis, and De'Aaron Fox was the best player on the floor last night. That's amazing. I wish Sacramento would get some more love nationally. You know, I watched the four-letter network again today. It's just background noise usually for
yeah.
me. And they didn't give us much love.
We'll hate,
we
man,
have
that's
some
like
startling
form.
News.
Yeah, art for those guys.
Some startling news on that front coming up about 15, 20 minutes.
Ooh,
Jay,
okay.
you know, and I know he texted you and he texted me. Jay happened to be, because of his circumstances there where he is, he was watching the Laker telecast, and he asked some amazing notes on what they were
man.
Saying.
Jay, I'm going to let you slide yeah. on that, big fella, because I know you were doing it for content for the show.
He didn't have that. He can't watch you. It's
really?
Like not an option for him, right, Jay? It's like not an option.
Yeah, it's not an option. I always get the opposite of
yeah.
Sacramento.
Where you live at, big fella? Where
well,
you at?
I, well,
man?
I live in Natomas, but I was living in Fairfield. So Fairfield is right there on the border where
you had
Warriors versus Kings. And I never switched over anything, so I still like I have the zip code situation going. So I can't get Sacramento.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
they block me. Yeah.
All right.
Even other games, I mean, even like I think not nationals, but like NBA TVs and stuff, they'll block me from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dang.
Yep.
Yeah. So good. All right.
So, blackout.
You missed an epic call from your boy last night. Huh? You missed an epic call. That's
somebody needs to just go ahead down there at the G1C and just go ahead and give me scout tape so I could be watching this type of stuff, man.
That would be nice. I'm going to give you a password. I'll give you a sign in on something.
There you go. Put me on the account, brother,
yeah.
like a Netflix account.
We have that coming up, and up next, Frankie Cardicelli. Old dial tone clicks Frankie.
Clicks
Cardicelli. This view on what went down last night and what's going to happen tonight, next year, with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
For anybody, but sorry, I'm getting another call.
Something kind of odd.
What?
I probably shouldn't go here. We got Frankie coming up, and sometimes I call him everybody's favorite Cardicelli. The reason I call him that is because on the YouTube chat, there's a Brian Cardicelli.
Oh.
And people say, Brian, you're my favorite Cardicelli.
People really say that?
Yeah. And apparently Frankie and Brian are related, but if you ask Frankie, he's like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
And he doesn't. It makes him really uncomfortable. So I shouldn't mention that before I bring him on, but hey, here we are. one of our outstanding Kings insiders, Sacktown Sports, Frankie Cardicelli. What's up, Frankie?
Fellas, and that's my cousin Brian. It's just, you know, our Cardicelli family, it's so big that you go to these family reunions and I meet someone new every time. And I had the pleasure of meeting Brian before, I think, game one last April. So hopefully maybe we can run into each other again this April.
That's nice. I have to say this, Frankie. A lot of people have been up and down on the Kings. I certainly have been. I mean, Drapes has been pretty, you know, rock solid and consistent. But you and Brendan, you have maintained a level of honest-to-goodness optimism where time and again you've said, you know, I still think this team, there's something that they tap into when they need it. And I think last night was an example of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to last year, too. I mean, it's the same group. I mean, it's the same players 1 through 8. And last year, whenever they fell in a hole, they fought out of it. And obviously there's been a couple more just ugly losses and letdowns and blown leads than last year, but the record's almost the same. And it kind of goes back to that, you know, the way they can bounce back from these losses. So last night obviously was a great example of that. And then tonight is the other side of things where they're facing a team at the bottom of the standings, the worst record in the West. And we've seen the Kings fall short to many bad teams this season. And obviously they got to keep it going tonight. But last night was just a kind of a peek at how good this team can be when they're firing on all cylinders.
Frankie, when you watched last night's game, what was the issue in the first quarter? And what did they change that made it turn around from your vantage point when you were watching the game?
I mean, on the defensive end, it's been kind of a theme lately. And obviously Kevin Herter's had to be, he sat out a couple of games at the end of a couple of games, and he had a quote in the Sacramento Bee about how he wished he could have been out there to help his teammates more in Denver, but it's really a matter of matchups. And you see opposing teams, they seek him. They look to switch and attack him off those switches. And it really wasn't the Kings were struggling with, and guys are a step behind on the rotations, and the Lakers were getting hot. But you see what the change Mike Brown made. He brings in Keon Ellis. He has Davion Mitchell out there, two defensive guards, and they brought the energy. And that really does help a team, and that goes for the whole bench. When you can be 8-9 players deep versus 7 like the Kings have been mostly for the last year and a half, they've been mostly 6-7 players deep with Malik Monk and Trey Lyles off the bench. If you can get some value out of Keon Ellis and some minutes out of Davion Mitchell, that just changes the look of this Kings team. And when they changed that look in the second quarter, I mean, they just went off and running. And 78% shooting from the field, and they held the Lakers 130% from the field on their end. I mean, it just completely changed the tone of the game. And you have to wonder if that's something that you'll see more down the stretch, because to me, I think that Keon Ellis has earned a longer look with what he can bring on the defensive end. And I think that doesn't mean Kevin Huerter is going to lose many minutes. If he can knock down his shots, he's as valuable as ever. But if the shots aren't falling and they're seeking him on those switches, you got to make a call. And having someone like Keon Ellis, that just helps the Kings be deeper.
Yeah, Frankie, speaking of making a call, that's one thing about Keon Ellis. It's so impressive. Every time he gets that call, Mike Brown makes that call, Keon Ellis is answered. Unlike some people who, you know, sometimes you're on the phone with them, and I got another call, and they're gone.
Click.
Click. let me ask you this. Maybe I'm getting ahead of No, not even close.
Not even close.
We're just getting started.
For anybody,
given the Sun schedule.
Get another call.
Yeah, given – Yeah. Given the Sun's schedule, and now we have news that Cat is injured.
Yes.
Is the sixth spot realistically there for the Kings taking?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the state of the Western Conference, it really is just a game of musical chairs. I mean, things can change on any given night, and obviously you don't want to scoreboard watch too much at this point because there's still over a month left in the season, but you know, we're getting close to that point where tonight you have Phoenix playing, you have the Warriors playing at home against the Bulls. Obviously, last night helps you a lot. If you were to have lost last night, you're looking at a possibility of falling beneath the Lakers or Warriors tonight. So I think the sixth seed is definitely there. I mean, you have to take care of business. And again, look at games like tonight. The games that the Kings have squandered in the past, the Charlottes, the Portlands, the Detroits, you can't have any more of those. That's kind of over. You don't have much wiggle room for losses like those. And if you can come out and take care of a team beneath you in the standings like the Spurs and give yourself a little bit of breathing room heading into a harder schedule for this homestand, and by the way, playing six straight games at home, you can take advantage of that, which the Kings have yet to do so far, you're going to be in a great spot. I mean, there's so many games left, and obviously some head-to-head matchups as well. A massive game against Phoenix later in the year. We'll see if that matters. You play New Orleans again. The Kings are not too far behind them in the standings as well. So plenty of opportunities for the Kings to kind of, I guess you can say, control their own destiny, but it starts with games like tonight. You can't roll over and lose games like these. Second night of a back-to-back, it doesn't matter. You have to take care of business against these teams at the bottom of the West.
Yeah, especially Victor Wembanyama not playing tonight. Spurs 0-6 without Victor. You know, when I look at the strength of schedule, Phoenix the second most difficult strength of schedule. Remember, last week and 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how difficult the Kings' schedule is. Right now, it's the 17th. Hardest schedule. So you're getting through some of these games where it's like, not that you can exhale or breathe a little bit better, but like to your point, Frankie, you should be able to take care of a San Antonio Spurs team. You know, one thing Mike Brown talked about, and we mentioned it earlier, is the contribution of the bench and not just the 50 points. How critical, I guess, let me rephrase that. This is my fourth season with Sacramento, Frankie. And I don't think I've seen a bench more engaged in games than I have over the last few weeks. My guy Mason Jones, we talked about JaVale McGee. How important is that, especially with the temperament of some of our starters, that you have an engaged bench?
I mean, it's huge for chemistry, right? I mean, I think that was a problem the Kings lacked during those 15, 16 years. Obviously, there was a lot of problems at play, but the chemistry with this Kings team really has just been impressive for all the way back to last year. And obviously when you add guys like Mason Jones in the mix, other players on the bench, I mean, going back to the end of the previous regime, Harry Giles is someone who was beloved by Kings fans who had a lot of energy in those situations. It helps. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the way the Kings have been over the last year. I mean, they're a tight-knit group. Again, it's largely the same roster, but when you add guys into the mix that that gel. And from everything we've heard, that Mason Jones has been a great addition to this locker room and to that second, or not a second unit, but to the bench unit. It can help things. I mean, chemistry is so important and undervalued, in my opinion. And in these teams you see go make deep playoff runs, or even in some cases finals runs. I mean, most cases you see these teams, they have great chemistry. They're close. They're close on and off the floor. They're close to the coaching staff, the training staff. And this Kings group has that relationship with the coaching staff, with the training staff, with the G League group. And that's what's so, I think, valuable about this group. And Mason Jones is now part of that.
Frankie Cardicelli with us. By the way, Frankie, the Stockton Kings played, they were just wrapping up when I got here today. They played Mexico City, and Mason Jones had a triple-double. How about that? And Colby did what today, Kyle?
43?
43.
Eight triples, I think.
Yeah. Frankie, your thoughts?
I've been on the Colby Jones train for a while. I think I was on with our friend Matt Georgia early in the season, and one of my hot takes was that Colby Jones would break through and be a part of the rotation, and that was a hot take, obviously, and that might probably not come to fruition this year, but I do believe that Colby Jones is the kind of guy that, you know, next season or the year after him, he's someone that you can definitely build around, and someone who definitely has value in the way that he can create, both as a playmaker. He can create off the dribble. He can knock down the three ball. He's a great defender. That's something that he was great at with Xavier, and I think that's why the Kings drafted him. They drafted him in the early second round, and he was someone that I saw in a lot of mock drafts. He was, you know, end of the first round, and some they had him going as high, I think, as 20th or 19th, and the Kings, it might look like a steal down the line, but again, just kind of shows the mind of McNair, who has had a good track record of drafting. And Colby Jones looks like a guy, I think, if not this year, very soon, he'll be a guy that'll be a player for this Kings team.
Frankie, are you willing to give us the Frankie Cardicelli personal guarantee that the Kings will not lose tonight?
Oh, shoot.
I really
Come
want
on,
to.
Come on, Frankie.
Wow.
Just the Spurs, bro. Come on. Like, if there's one game you can guarantee, this would be the one.
I don't blame him. You know? You can't blame him. Go ahead, Frankie.
But can you guys guarantee it? I mean, can you blame me? I mean, look at the losses on the track record. I want it to be 100% sure, and I want to be right. But, yeah, I feel very strongly they're not going to mess around. They're going to come through this time. They're going to put those bad losses in the rear view. Again, this is the group that we all think that they are. And again, the guys in the locker room, the front office, this is the group they think that they are. They'll take care of business. Like, they're right there. They're very close to making a move to that top six. But you got to do it. So I'm going to say yes. Right. I'll give you the guarantee. I feel very, very good about it.
Nice.
Thank you. Man, it's like going to the dentist with this guy sometimes.
He's cautious.
Thank you, dude.
So when
this would be the worst loss of the season.
Yeah.
No Wembanyama?
Yeah, I know. Come on. I know. Frankie is very methodical. And then he says, yes, he made his decision. By the way, Frankie, 6 home games in a row, that's a lot of chocolate chip cookies for you and me. Am I right?
Yeah. You know what? They've been coming hard with the regular chocolate chip. They haven't been – They weren't up to par, but now they're really getting going with those. So I'm not a big double chocolate chip, the regular chocolate chip. If you ever had them, you know. But and by the way, real quick,
too many of the oatmeal raisin. Yeah, go ahead.
I can't. I am very scarred, fellas. It's been like any Kings fan out there. 16, 17 years of losing will do that to you. So it's hard for me to sit here and just say, oh yeah, the Kings are gonna just. They're gonna roll tonight, but I really want to feel that way, and I'm hopeful. But I'm just saying it's because of the scars.
Gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
I get
Thanks,
it, Frankie. I get it.
We appreciate it. We'll
you ain't got no card soon. For Frankie? Or?
Oh, I don't. I'm sorry. I forgot one today, Frankie. I'll have to give him 2 next time.
All right.
My bad, Frankie.
That's telling.
I apologize.
That's telling how poorly I did. That's very telling.
Thanks, Frankie. Well, good stuff, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Frankie. Yeah. Take care. You can't blame him. Like he said, so many people today are saying that, like, wow, they're going to win tonight, right? Yeah, I think. Yeah, but boy, but if they didn't. We've been conditioned to feel that way about these games.
I don't know why. How about this? If they lose, I will give away my Brock Purdy jersey to somebody.
You don't even want it. You're going to probably do that anyway.
I got to find it first. But yeah, no, I mean – we said it the other day against the Bulls. We said it last week against Miami. You got to win this one, right? You got to win this one tonight. Like, you should win this one tonight. I'm sorry.
Devin Vassell, man.
He's been on fire lately. Yeah. But come on, man.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what, when we come back here, Whitey's wish list.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's not Drape's takes.
It's not Drape's takes, you know.
Whitey's wish list for tonight. Some of the things we've been talking about coming into play here. And really looking forward to checking in with Jay on the incredibly irresponsible and ignorant things a Laker broadcaster said last night about the Kings. We got all that more coming up here from the Goldman Center Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Poor Frankie catching a little bit of heat on the chat for being reluctant to guarantee the win tonight. But you know what he did ultimately? He came through and he said, yes, I'm putting the good Cardicelli name on it, guaranteeing the win tonight.
We had to twist his arm, you know? We had to twist his arm to get him to do it. I'm like, if you can't do it for this game, we might as well never ask the question again then, right? Like, this game?
Compio says, that's why Brian is my favorite Cardicelli.
Exactly. That's a good one, Compio.
Yeah. And then, Compio's, I need Draper's opinion on Ellis. I think he needs significant minutes every game from here on out. I'm the one that told Drapes that Ellis needs
to
play.
Calm down. Pump the brakes. Who's he getting minutes over? It's like the All-Star. Oh, Domas should be an All-Star. Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
But tell me who you're taking out. Well, Keon. I agree. Keon should be playing. Who you taking out?
We know who.
No, don't put your name on it.
I'm putting his name on it, Kevin Huerter. It's the same person who gave up the minutes last night. It's a little bit matchup specific. But tonight's one of those nights, as you know. Devin, who is Huerter going to guard?
But here's the problem, Whitey, and I hear you. I get what you're saying. The problem is, and it's not just Kevin Huerter, this Kings team has been too inconsistent. And so the minute you take out Kevin Huerter, that's the minute Keon struggles or Davion struggles. Like, that's the issue I think Mike Brown has had this season. Like, nobody has been good enough to say, you know what, you're going to be in the rotation outside of Fox and Sabonis. And he's mentioned it yesterday, even Keegan. Let's be honest. Keegan's not playing well right now. We're giving him some grace because he's the fourth overall pick, and we know his future is bright. But, you know, Kevin Huerter has not been bad. I don't get what all this Kevin Huerter slander is coming from.
Well, it's not slander. And here's the thing. If we're going to be honest, let's be honest. Teams are hunting Kevin Huerter right now, and you don't blame them.
So should the Lakers not play Austin Reeves? Because the Kings were hunting Austin
Reeves.
The
Lakers got their own problems. We're talking about the Kings.
I'm just saying.
And we're talking about whose minutes is Keon Ellis take.
Should the Atlanta Hawks not play Trae Young?
Well,
Should the Bucks not play Dame Lillard? Like, what are we talking about? This is the same Kevin Huerter that helped you to 48 wins last season.
Kevin Huerter.
And now all of a sudden you want to bury my guy on the bench. I can't do that, Whitey.
He's not Dame Lillard and he's not Trae Young, and you know that.
I know that, but that your point is teams are hunting Kevin Huerter.
Yes. They are. You can see that. It's in the scouting reports, too.
Three days ago, we said this Kings team offense, it has to be better. They need to embrace their offense. The defense is what it is. Now you're talking about taking one of their best shooters out of the lineup.
I appreciate that you're sticking up for a guy that you know and that has done some things in the league. I know that. I don't mean to put you in an awkward spot.
This is not awkward for me. Well, this is legit, but my take on
look
this.
Look what happened in the game last night.
You're going to react to one game.
It's not just one game.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask
and
you
I'm,
this.
I'm answering your question.
Keegan was 3 of 8, 7 points. Should he get benched?
Keegan is a better defender than Kevin Huerter.
Should he get benched, though? That's the question. I mean, like Kevin Huerter, you know, I'm looking at some of the numbers last night. You know, when you look at it, Trey Lyles played 30 minutes. Should he play 30 minutes and HB only 15? I don't – go ahead. You guys make your point about Kevin Huerter. I'm not co-signing on that because I think Kevin Huerter brings value outside of – just looking at one game last night. When this team was rolling last year, when this team had some of their best wins this year. Heck, the last time they played in L.A. against the Lakers, Kevin Huerter had 28 points.
Yes. Those have been few and far between this year.
That's not accurate, Whitey. Look at Kevin
Huerter.
When's
the last time he got 28?
Look at Kevin Huerter over the last 2 months or so. Like, Kevin Huerter has been playing. I got it right here. I'm pulling it up right now. Look at Kevin Huerter over the last couple of months. He's been playing pretty solid basketball. Let me pull it up. Hold on here.
He's been really taken advantage of defensively. And you know that, and we've seen it. And the question, we're not, this isn't a campaign to get rid of Herter. It's an answer to the question. If Keon Ellis is going to play more, then you ask the question, whose minutes would he take? Well, in those nights when, like last night, when you're not getting the defensive traction you need, if Herter's not shooting well and he's not defending, the answer would be Kevin Herter.
Right.
To Mark Raffer saying, get rid of him.
No, but you're saying take him out the lineup, basically. You know, like cut his minutes. The problem with the Kings is you can't depend on anybody night in and night out other than our top two guys, Fox and Sabonis. That's where the issue is. It's not and that's why Mike Brown last night, all right, Kevin doesn't have it going. I'm going to do Keon Ellis.
Right.
But it's not an absolute thing. All right, Keon needs time, Kevin, you're out. No, you got to see that's the problem with the Kings, and this is what Mike Brown is doing. He's seeing who's got it going that night. You know, HB didn't necessarily have it going. Trey Lyles, I thought HB was fine last night. Trey Lyles provided something different, you know, for them last night. But when you look at it, the Kings starting five is one of the best starting fives in the league. And so you want to take out Kevin Herter? Like, I'm just not buying that, man.
So you don't
think it's an absolute.
Yeah. Keon Ellis has played well. And I know they're 4-0 when he starts, which, you know, he starts because somebody's hurt. He's played well. He defends. His offensive game is coming around.
Is it really? No, you can't just say that, Whitey. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. Is it really coming around?
Yes. Last night, he, let's see, he was 1-for-1. He made it, took 1-3, and he made it.
Okay, so that's coming around.
That's his
3 points.
Shot.
Like, if Kevin Herter had that stat line, we'd be like, Kevin Herter got to be, if Harrison Barnes had that stat, we'd be like, so you can't just say he's coming around because it's not true. Like, the numbers don't indicate that.
Okay, what was wrong with 3 points in 5 minutes on one shot?
That's not coming around. Like, anybody can have that. Like, that's not, you know, you're talking about playing Kevin Herter, I mean, Keon Ellis over Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter's minutes sometimes is 25, 30. Do we? I don't know, man. You can go ahead with that. I'm not going to co-sign on that.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I'm not going to react to one game.
It's like, not one game. Did
yes,
you see what the Bulls, what they did to Kevin Herter? The Heat, I mean, teams are, I will get you in touch with the scouts that are saying this. This isn't to lambaste
or to
criticize him. This is a fact. It's going on.
Were they hunting him last year when he
I
was
don't
a
know.
Starting shooting guard on a team that almost knocked the Warriors out?
They probably were.
Right.
Not to
so
the degree they are
but
now,
we're
but
being
what does last year matter?
We're being reactionary to a week. Of basketball player, 2 weeks of basketball play, and I've always said Kevin Herter's value offensively is critical for the Kings because his floor spacing opens things up for Domas, opens things up for De'Aaron Fox, opens things up for Keegan Murray. Now, if you put him, let's say you take him out and throw Keon Ellis, no offense to Keon, but his offense is I just don't, you know, you said it's coming around. I don't know what that means.
What's he shooting?
I really don't. Let's look at it. All right. 5 points against the Lakers. 2 points against 2 points against Minnesota. 0 points against Denver. 0 against Denver. 0 against Phoenix. 5 against OKC. So let's not say his offense is coming around.
This is
a small sample size of each game, and it's not about – now, if he was playing 25 minutes a night and was shooting 40% per three, all right, then we can have a conversation. But you can't just say it off of – Whitey, come on, man. You've been around longer enough to do that.
Well, when you just said he has not scoring points, he's not playing much. So, of course, he's
so then
scoring.
His offense is not coming around then.
I think it is.
How? What are you
talking?
He's made five shots in the last month.
He made 1-for-1 last night. Herter was 1-for-3. Couldn't guard.
Maybe
his own
all right.
Shadow.
I'm wrong on this one. I'm wrong on this one, guys. I'm wrong. All right, go for it, man.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, you have to admit teams are hunting Kevin Herter, and he's a weak link in their defense. That's a fact.
I don't think that's the. But this is the issue. But when Kevin Herter is hitting, you need that. The problem is the inconsistency from everybody outside of Fox and Sabonis and Malik Monk maybe. That's our real issue. It's that we can't trust anybody on every night, like outside of the big three. And so
right.
we need
Dion
more consistency,
Davion, they have
consistency from everybody. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Last night's box score lied about how the Kings beat the Lakers. We'll get to that when we return to the Gold One Center. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.